This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 581 in the series. We step back into the radio archives for this one. This session shares the segment from the Franklin, Mass. Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, May 6, 2020, that covered the discussion and vote to deny the all-alcohol license as requested by Dean College. The meeting was conducted then in a remote format. All of the town council, town administration personnel, meeting guests, and the public participated remotely via the Zoom conference bridge during this pandemic period. The recording shares only the license discussion and vote from this meeting and runs about 56 minutes. The show notes contain links to the meeting agenda, including documents released for that 2020 meeting, as well as for the July 21, 2021 meeting, where the license is back before the town council. So let's listen to this segment of the town council meeting of May 6, 2020.
Next item on the agenda is license transactions. Dean College, new section 12, all alcoholic beverage license, located at 135 Emmons Street, Franklin, Mass. Jamie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So just by way of quick background, as everybody on this call is probably familiar, this was a continuation from the last meeting. As you may recall, there were some concerns brought forth by numerous counselors on the license application. As directed by basically the council, the town attorney and the council for Dean College have worked over the last week or so on the additional stipulations that Dean College was proposing to add into its license. It's important to clarify that the provisions that are in this record, and I'll read them in a moment, are actually stipulations that the council can consider as stipulations in the license. And so that's the way the ABCC and our police are legally able to enforce any licensure-related issues. Outside of any other legal documents, this is the most important aspect. So reading the letter that's in the packet really quickly, dated April 29th, dear Mr. Chairman and members of the council, in anticipation of the public hearing continued from April 15th to May 6th, 2020, on the application of Dean College for new all alcohol beverages on-premise license to operate at the campus center located at 99 Main Street, Franklin. They've added in, they propose the additional following conditions on the license. Number one, sale and service of alcohol beverages only to Dean College faculty, staff, alumni, students, and their guests, and other authorized individuals. Number two, sale and service of alcoholic beverages limited to the following areas: Boomers, Golden Room, Guidry Center, Atrium, Dining Center, the Main Stage, and the Campus Center Concourse. And number three, sale and service of alcohol beverages at no more than three events at any time. Those were the provisions that the proponent believes achieved some of the comments that were brought up at the last meeting. And if the council feels so inclined, if they're comfortable with those could be added into the license, or certainly it's certainly within the council's purview right now to have any additional discussion with the proponent. So that wraps up my comments, and if you have any questions, certainly myself and the town attorney are here to do the best we can. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Mark?
Yeah.
Did you have anything to add?
Yes, I think that these were intended to address concerns raised by Councillor Kelly in particular. I believe that they have agreed to conditions on the license that beyond what they would absolutely have to agree to. I should just give this a little bit of context, which is that this basically goes back to the prior town administrator, Jeff Nutting, had discussions with Dean and had basically requested that I work with Dean to address the fact that they were coming in for multiple one-day licenses, which was administratively using town resources and also restricting them because there is a statutory limit on the number of those that you can get in a year. and we were looking for a more workable solution. I had meetings with Ken and Dave from Dean, and also basically at some point said, here, you have a number of options. I'm the town attorney. I really can't advise you as to what's best for you. And I gave them the name of several law firms that regularly practice in alcohol licensing issues, and they took it from there. But this was viewed as a cooperative venture between the town and Dean.
Thank you, Attorney Sorrell. And again, I just wanted Jamie and Mark to give an update as to what had transpired in the last week before we read the license transaction and put a motion on the floor. So, Councilor Jones, you need to read the motion, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is a license transaction, new Section 12, all alcoholic beverages license. The applicant is Dean College. The applicant is seeking a new Section 12, all alcoholic beverages license to be located at 135 Emmons Street, Franklin, Massachusetts, 02038. The license manager will be Kenneth F. Corcoran. All departments have signed off on this application. This is a motion to approve the request by Dean College for a new Section 12 all alcoholic beverages license and to approve the manager, Kenneth F. Corcoran. Second.
Motion and a second.
Nope, it was the second.
Discussion.
Second.
Discussion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So, by way, I would suggest somebody make an amendment to add those three conditions that Dean, through their attorney, has agreed can be included in the license.
Okay. Councilor Kelly?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And through you, I just had a couple of questions on the memo that was received from the law firm to us. First off, I was hoping we could identify what buildings the number one was in. Are they all in this, all of those? I'm sorry, one, number two was in. Are they all in the same location, or are they different parts of the campus?
Dave.
Yes, Mark. Yeah, sorry, Matt. Yeah, those are all parts of the campus center. All of the locations that are mentioned are all part of our main campus center. So they're all located in one building.
Okay.
And I did want to add just one quick thing. I wondered if Jamie, if there was possible, if we could add the Campanella boardroom to that. That's where Dr. Rooney does host a lot of events. It's one of our past chairmen of the board. I wondered if we could add that. It's also in the campus center.
Councilor Kelly.
Yeah.
So, left the floor.
Thank you. Thanks, Dave. And then the other question was, numeral number three says sales and service of alcohol beverages at no more than three events at the same time. With having one, I picture this as a restaurant, right? And how we typically give out the authorization to sell alcohol, alcoholic beverages for that matter. And having three events at three different floors at the same time, I'm concerned on how Mr. Cochran would be able to manage all three of those events at one time. So I'm thankful that this was able to come together and make some changes. I am a little leery on the three events, and if there's a reason behind that, I'd love to hear it. But other than that, that's something that's very interesting and where it sits today. So thank you.
Okay. I'll see if Ken, would you like to respond?
Sure. Typically, we may have something to the level of a alumni event where we'd have a situation going on within the main stage area, and then there'd be something going on elsewhere in the campus center as well for something from a student perspective. Simply, I would have an officer at both events. We would make sure these things are usually done well in advance so that I would schedule an officer that they would be present during the entirety of both single events. Typically speaking, we don't see this often, but there are things like homecoming where there are multiple events for, say, students and or alumni, past alumni, that they would be in the same, you know, time frame, and we would staff it concurrently.
Thank you. You mentioned officer. Are you talking police officer?
If needed be, yes. We have law enforcement officers that are sworn officers. We also have non-sworn officers, and typically speaking, if this was an event, say, for students that was run and it was the select only students of 21 years of age, and typically this is part of our 21 plus event, where it was strictly a population of our students, that would be something a campus safety supervisor would sort of oversee, and there'd be a law officer that would check in on them. If this was something open to the public, where outside guests would be coming in or past alumni would be coming in, we would probably, similar to the homecoming football games, we have a law enforcement officer that's there for the entirety.
When you say law enforcement, you're not talking a Franklin police officer, you're talking a law enforcement officer.
Yep. So. And I would work, depending on the nature of the event itself, I've worked with Franklin PD, so there may be events that, given the nature of the event, we would work in conjunction with Franklin. If it was an event that was going to involve, you know, from a safety perspective, multiple folks.
I guess that's where I differ. I mean, I really feel like there's no our governed body is, you know, essentially has the police that represents our town. Maybe Councilor Chandler can talk more about this, but I don't see the reporting of the police, and that is creating a huge concern for me. You know, I think we've made some good efforts. I still don't think it's there. I'm a little concerned on it, I have to say, still. But thank you, Ken, and I'll lower my hand and let somebody else talk.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Any other council like to speak to this? Councilor Bizanti.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, at the last meeting, I appreciated our town attorney speaking to the fact that this is going to be a real bona fide bar. And I had mixed feelings after the meeting. As a businessman, I feel that opening another bar in the center, basically in the heart of Franklin, it's going to put pressure on businessmen and restaurateurs and bar owners already coming out of, if we come out of a tough time, opening their restaurants and businesses and going up against another bar who may or may not have been enjoying some of the Dean crowd. But my point is, this is going to be a full-time bar, and if Mark wants to reiterate or chime in on it, entitled to all the perks and privileges of a full-time bar, other than I guess they will be restricted to Dean students, but that's neither here nor there. My point is that Dean College basically enjoys all the perks and privileges of being right in, you know, having a bar, having the privileges of bars near the campus. I don't really see the need of having a bar on campus on top of all the surrounding bars and restaurants we have. So, and I don't know if I'm missing the point. It sounds like this is a done deal already, and we're just trying to manicure this around them. I assume we're still going to put this to a vote. So
there's a motion and a second on the floor. We're discussing the motion. Okay. So in answer to your question, Councilor Bizanti, yes, we will be voting on it.
Okay.
Following the discussion.
So,
Attorney Sorrell, I think you wanted to, you might want to respond to the competition piece. That's
right. This actually, when I said that they were conceding by conditions, they could actually take the position as a licensed facility or requesting a license that they would be open to the general public. So they've actually pulled that right back somewhat by what they've agreed to do in terms of who this is available to on the one side. On the other side, legally, while a local licensing authority has a fair degree of discretion in whether to approve or deny a license, increased economic competition is not a valid grounds for denying an application for a license. There's case law on that. It's very clear. There are other circumstances as to the character of the operation, the character of the community, whatever, that are valid considerations. But an increase in economic competition is not, and is compounded, unfortunately, by the fact that we're speculating about what's going to happen if and when we finally come out of this current COVID-19 crisis and try to resume activities. But unfortunately, that's just not something that you can base a decision on.
Councilor Bazanti, you still
have the floor?
Yes, you do.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That wasn't necessarily my point, Mark. My point was, I feel on a campus where 75% of the student body is not of age of drinking, I just don't feel it's necessary. And then the other 25% that is of age of drinking, we are surrounded by the potential of four or five bars and restaurants. So, I mean, and candidly, I've also seen instances when we as a council have witnessed two liquor stores being across from one another, and I don't know, the other party made a case, why do we need another liquor store across one across the street from another? And I believe one liquor store prevailed over the other liquor store based on competition. I'm not sure if I was part of that council at the time, but I did witness a case prevail over the other in that particular circumstance. But I'm not making a point of competition. I'm basically making a point of how pertinent this is on a campus where 75% of the student body can't drink. That's my point. And basically how we need this. When Dean was basically built around the center of town, or rather the center of town was built around the Dean campus, it's veritably part of the campus. Why do they need a bar? That's my point. And it's also surrounded by a tremendous amount of residential, and I've heard from some of those residents. Sometimes the parties that they do have a tendency to get out. That's my point. I think we as councilors need to consider our residents and our businesses. Thank you. I relinquish the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Bazanti. Councilor Chandler. Unmute yourself. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now I lost my train of thought for a second, but I just, last week I was a no on this, and I continue to be a no. And I really believe Councilor Kelly laid out a lot of the things that were bothering me, mostly just about the safety of the kids and who's going to be supervising the law enforcement. I know it's Mr. Cochran, but whether it's security guards or whatever they have. That's my reasoning right now. I just believe that it's all about the safety of the kids. And so I'm going to speak against this.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This might be for Ken. You say that you're going to have police officers there?
Yes.
And they have arresting powers in Franklin?
Yes, they have arresting powers through the state of Massachusetts.
Okay, so if they make an arrest, they go to court and they represent them?
Correct.
Not a police officer in Franklin?
No, if we would make an arrest, if we have our powers of arrest through the state of Massachusetts, we would be making the arrest, and we would obviously let Franklin police know what was going on, but there would be that officer making the arrest.
Okay. Okay, well, yeah, my point is that there's 75% of the kids, and I don't know if Attorney Mark Sorrell wants he can verify this, that they're under 21. I had three kids that went to college, and they all went to their college bars, and they were all underage. So, and that's the reason why I'm against this. That's the only reason.
I will say, if I could, just we have been doing these events for 4 years, we're getting alcohol permits, 20, 25 a time, as much as, you know, we're allowed to. We've never had an incident regarding any of these activities. And we've had the same level of staffing that we've always had. We've always had an officer present. Dave Drucker's folks will be at the events for students. And again, it does affect a very a smaller minority of our student population. That just allows us to get to know who the folks are attending the events. And like I said, we've been doing this for about 4 years with no issues at all.
Yeah, I mean, if I could speak to that a little bit, just in terms of those concerns, myself or my staff oversee those events with either, you know, Ken or the campus safety staff. We have the birth dates of our students, so there is no underage drinking that occurs at any Dean College-sponsored event. And that would be something that we would carry on the go forward, as we have all of their birth dates. You know, with respect to concerns about the bar, I think it's important people understand that that is really not a consideration at this point. Boomers is a restaurant that also doubles as a game room for the rest of the campus population. Generally, when we have a student event, we stanchion off a portion of this for those who are 21 or above to consume, you know, a few drinks. And you're talking about really a population of, you know, we average about 40 students that will attend these, and it's for a few hours. Generally doesn't go until, you know, it's maybe from 8 until 11 in the evening. So again, when you're talking numbers, I don't foresee this as something that's going to hamper any town business. And it's not a bar that's going to be 7 nights a week. This is something that we do on occasion at the college, that we serve alcoholic beverages. So I know in the last meeting it was brought up that this may happen down the road. I don't think any of us know what's going to happen in the future, but at this point in time, it is not something that we're doing on a very consistent basis. It's something that we do as a social activity for the students. And I also want to mention what was brought up by Attorney Sorrell, is that our reason for doing this is that we host a lot of events at the college. Ken mentioned homecoming with alumni. Dr. Rooney hosts events. So this is not strictly just to be serving college students. It's really the social activities of the entire college. This would ease our ability to do that.
Thank you, Dave. I'm trying that answer question. I know Melanie's next. Go ahead, Mel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to get a clarification here, because it feels like to me, this is about Dean College not having to come into the town and getting 200 individual event licenses. So I didn't have the sense that it was about a pub and it was possibly that they could make one. My fellow Councillor Kelly asked for it to be in the license that they could not ever have a pub on campus. And I don't think that was, I know that maybe Section 1 was limited just to the staff and the students, and I think of it as they don't have to get individual licenses anymore. It's just one for all of the events throughout the year, and that's kind of, is that what this is about or not? I guess I just would like to have a little clarification on that. Maybe Attorney Sorrell could help with that, or Jamie. And also,
that was my understanding, that was a driving force.
Okay. I also just have one other really quick question.
Sure.
So maybe we can just you guys can just roll right into it. I had a lot of questions from people about if they get this, could they have like a wine appreciation classes or sommelier classes or something like that in the student center? I like that. Thank you.
Are you asking if those would be allowed?
Yes, if those would be allowed, and if this is really about just getting one license for the year instead of 200 individual event licenses, so that it seems like they are already having these events, and this is just to make things more efficient.
That's kind of how I understood it as well, but okay. Dave, you want to address that? Dave or Ken or Mark?
I just want to just step in, just because I think that there is a misunderstanding, and I think that Council person Hamblin correctly stated it. I mean, Dean has been a neighbor for many, many years. And, you know, Ken has been the safety person since 1996. I think at the last hearing, it was acknowledged that they've had numerous one-day licenses, numerous events, and there was never a problem. So we're here now just trying to give a flexibility so that they can have more than the 30. That is under the law. You can only have 30 special one-day licenses a year. And also that, you know, it's a burden on the town. So it's not going to be a bar. It's not going to be even a restaurant that's competing with the restaurants in town. This is limited to the people, the individuals that we listed on number one. And Council Sorrell is correct that you cannot, you know, consider competition. But in any event, this is not going to impact, you know, the neighbors. And also, you know, it is in one building. And I understood last time that the concern was it's a big building and there's going to be alcohol all over this building. How are you going to, you know, we need more control on that. So that was number two. So you have various areas, you have the boomers, you have, you know, various just rooms that are going to have events. And Ken has full control, you know, and they have plenty of staff. And number three, the other concern that I heard last time was, well, if you limit it to different rooms, but you can't have all of these rooms going at once. And Councilor Kelly just said that again tonight. So we limited it to three at a time. But as Ken said, you know, we probably wouldn't have that. But since these are conditions on the license, and if there is a busy season, the spring, you know, if you have an alumni event or fundraising event, you want to have that flexibility. So, and, you know, the other thing, you know, these Dave and Ken, and for that matter, you know, everyone at that college, I think safety is the number one concern of their students. And I they're taking this very seriously. So I think that's, you know, something that you all need to consider. This is not, they're not just coming in here looking to run a bar.
Thank you, Trish. Councilor Hamblin still has the floor.
So I was, I guess the other question that I haven't, hasn't been clarified, or like I was just wondering if they could potentially have those kind of classes there, because if this license makes that possible, like a sommelier or wine appreciation class.
A Section 12 restaurant, you know, a Section 12, this is a restaurant license, you can have wine tasting, similar as, you know, the Section 15 package stores can have wine tastings. There's certain requirements under the law. You only have, you know, certain pours and all of those kind of things. I don't know if that's something that Dave and Ken have thought of. They haven't discussed that with me, but under the law, that is what you can do with that license.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Councilor Jones hasn't had a first go around, then I'll go to Councilor Kelly and then town administrator. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I believe this question goes to our attorney, Mark Sorrell. Under all of our license issue that we issue, whether it's this license or any of our bar license or liquor store licenses, they are just as eligible as any other entity in the town of Franklin to having the town police, the Franklin Town Police, go in and audit them, do a license check. Am I correct when I say that?
Yes, because the police, under our local bylaw, are the agent of the local license authority. So yes, they have that authority.
All right. So I just wanted to make sure that because they weren't a non-taxed entity, non-profit entity, that they still fall under the same rules and guidelines.
No, you've actually got more authority. If with the license than you currently have.
Okay. Great.
The chief is on this call, so if you needed something directed to him, you could.
No, I just wanted to make sure that the school understands that, you know, even though they're going to be managing it and they are a private entity and they are so on and so forth, that they're still following under the same rules and guidelines that the rest of our entities in the town of Franklin have. And you will, you potentially could be audited. You follow under the same rules, guidelines as any other.
And oh, by the way, the ABCC maintains its own staff of investigators, and they have concurrent authority to come in and do spot checks, and they do. So.
Okay, great. My question.
Thank you, Jones. Councillor Kelly.
Sorry to go a second time around. Just really important for everyone. So will the alcohol beverages be taxed just like they are in a restaurant?
Who'd like to take that, Jamie?
I'll take a crack at it. I would defer to Dave. Do you sell hamburgers for $7.50 or $11.50 like a restaurant like Three or any other restaurant in Franklin?
I mean, Sodexo typically sets the prices on those. So I guess.
I don't believe they're actually susceptible to the meals tax in the same traditional way. So if I go to a restaurant would or any other, but I don't know the answer to that factually, because I don't know. I'd have to talk to the treasurer collector to see if meals tax comes in via Dean College. I don't believe it does, because I think it's all under a payment plan that the college has through the through their tuition and activity rates.
So under a Section 12 restaurant license, you're telling me that if I go to Acapulco's yesterday to buy a drink, I have to pay a tax, but if I go to Dean College, I do not. Is that correct?
No, I believe if you're dealing with the public, even if you're otherwise not, that you are subject to the meals and alcoholic beverage taxes. I've had that issue with the senior center before.
Okay.
So I am safe to assume that if this is approved, starting the first time they have this, they will pay tax on all alcohol beverages that are sold.
Mark?
That's to you.
If it's a retail sale of alcohol, yeah. I mean, it could be. We frequently had the situation, even with the one days, I don't know how Dean operated, but speaking in generalities, people pulled one day sometimes just to be safe. And the town gets oversight where they're not actually selling alcohol. They're making it available, and they have the license, and the town has always gone along with that because it gives us the oversight of what's going on. But assuming that there's a retail sale, I would assume that they're going to collect whatever taxes are required.
So,
and my understanding is if they are selling, unless it's an exempt population or exempt activity, such as, again, by analogy, the senior center serving seniors meals is exempt from meals tax, but if the public goes in there, they're not. So there's it's double bookkeeping.
So am I safe to assume that the town of Franklin has been collecting tax on the alcohol beverages that have been sold on these one-day licenses for the last 5, 10, whatever years that we've been doing this?
I to be perfectly honest, I'm just speaking in terms of my understanding of the law. In terms of practice, I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Chairman, I mean,
those are state taxes anyway, and then except for the town's additional add-on, but that goes to the state, and then the state disperses it back to the community.
I understand that. I'm trying to find out if we've been getting this money.
Town Administrator Jamie.
To be perfectly honest, I there's no way for me to know. I'd have to go back to the treasurer collector and ask to see if we've been collecting that money from DOR, and probably have to go through DOR to see if that has been reported from Dean College to the state, back to the locality. As Mark just pointed out, as the town attorney just pointed out, it's not as if the money from any meals tax at Acapulco's or any other restaurant you want to name in Franklin comes directly to us. It's a reporting mechanism from that restaurant individually to the state, and we get an apportionment of that based on the sales. I also just want to point out one thing. I think due to the nature of what they're talking about over here, there's a difference in the events we're discussing. And I think, again, this gets back to the intent of what the license was for, in the sense of, if you're having an event for alumni in the Campanella boardroom from Dr. Rooney, and you're handing out complimentary drinks, that's a majority of what the one-day liquor licenses have been in the past. So I don't believe in the past many of the one-day liquor licenses have had retail sales in the traditional sense of what we think of retail sales at Three or Acapulco.
And I understand that.
Go ahead, Matt. You
and I understand that, but my concern is that we're providing a Section 12 restaurant license, as Attorney Farnsworth has said, which means, yes, it's for three events today. It's got provisions in that. I'm afraid of what comes down the road. Councilor Hamlin asked, can we have wine tasting? Next thing, can we have beer tasting? Can Dean now start a brewery and start having something going on there? What is the, we're opening the door, and I don't know if this, I'm trying to find out if this is the right road to go down. I'm very nervous. One of the questions I had on this was outside, such as homecoming or anything else. Do any of the license with these provisions that are in here, does that allow you to have alcohol beverages served outside?
No, they'd have to come in and pull a separate one-day license for a separate part of the campus.
Right. Okay. This license is only for the campus center, and we're agreeing to the condition in those areas within the campus center. And I just want to respond, no, we cannot brew. That's a separate license.
I understand that, Attorney Farnsworth. I'm just generalizing.
Well, no, you're asking if we're going to brew, and I'm telling you that that's a separate license.
I'm more asking what's going to happen down the road, that when there is a full-time liquor, you know, liquor license given to you, and what is the ramifications to our town of that. You mentioned safety, and one of the safety concerns I'm having is a driver that comes up Main Street and somebody at your college who has drank too much, and there's an accident because they don't push the button across the walk. And I think everybody on this call has seen a student at the campus center, and I know Dean has worked awfully hard about this, when the broad daylight just walks straight across the walkway without pushing the button. So I'm concerned about safety as much as you are. And that's why I bring up what could happen down the road.
Well, everyone's going to be tips trained under your rules, so they know how to serve, whether they're of age or over service. But also, there's case law on this that you can't worry about the future and base a decision. A board cannot base a decision on the future and fears in the future. It's a just
I'm not fearful
case
of the
out of
future.
Beacon Hill.
I'm looking on at everything as the requirements through the town. And you mentioned a Section 12 restaurant license, and I don't feel like this is the right one. I'm wondering if maybe a private club license could have been better. And I don't know if that's something we've thought of, if there's another option for them. I don't know if the restaurant license is the way to go. Thank you.
So same variation, the same considerations. What they basically agreed to is what, in effect, would be a club license.
Then why didn't we give them a private club license?
It doesn't matter. It's under the. It's the same variation. It's the same.
Because it's in the
legal consequences here would be the same thing.
Because it's in the license, is that correct, Mark?
Because it, much like by analogy to the Franklin Country Club, as long as you've come through the college to come into the place, then it's an authorized under the club license. It's members and guests. It's whoever belongs to the club and those who come in under their auspices. So, I mean, that's been done across the boards for all kinds of places.
Right, and I'm not sure that this is really an official club license, because that's typically a country club or a membership. I mean, that's a separate, this doesn't really fall under a club license. It's not a VFW or any of those kind of clubs.
Please wait to be called on before you speak. Thank you. Councilor Kelly, floor is still yours.
All set. I've had most of my questions answered, and the floor is back to you.
Thank you. Councilor DeLocco, second round.
So just a quick point, Mr. Chairman, and maybe to the town administrator. As far as the mail tax goes, I know for a fact when we do it at the Rod and Gun, We absolutely do pay the mail tax to the state. Just so you know that actually Bobby Dean made us play it all the time. So I'm just making sure that it does happen on the one-day licenses.
Thank you, Councilor DeLarco. Councilor Bizanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, back to Attorney Mark Sorrell. I'm just a little confused, unless the wording was changed. I thought Attorney Sorrell was very clear and cautionary in his statement at the last meeting that this would be pretty much a bar list and not to make any distinctions or assertions that it would not be any considered anything less than a bar license. And now we're talking...
it's a restaurant. No, I did not say that. It's a restaurant license.
And but it would be treated like any other restaurant that would be serving full alcohol and treated like any alcohol, full alcohol.
Well, except they've actually agreed to the limitation on who would be able to take advantage of the existing food service facility there. This one element of the student center, and then you've got these other areas where they would have occasional events. So that's it's definitely a hybrid. It doesn't fit neatly into any of the existing licenses.
And does the ABC make that distinction, Mark?
What?
Does the ABC, the Alcohol Commission's Board, make that, allow those distinctions to be made?
If the local licensing authority agrees with it and the licensee agrees with it, the ABCC generally goes along with it. We've had other occasions where we've issued licenses that don't fit neatly into a package. The major consideration is our requirement for serving food, but we revised the bylaw for certain types of facilities in that regard, but that's the major one. So what, you're not going to have a apparently there's some kind of, I haven't been in there to know, but apparently there's some sort of place where students and others can get food, and they're going to have the ability to serve alcohol under this license. In addition, there are the numerous events they have that are catered and that they want the ability for alcohol for those events as well. Those are the ones that are primarily the one days they've been pulling.
Okay, thank you, Mark. So, Mark, you and I worked on the alcohol awareness bylaw 3 or 4 years ago. And as you know, it's up to the managers to get TIPS certified, but then it's also up to them to get their staff TIPS certified. And one of the things that I was concerned about was, you know, enforcing that, which I, to the best of my knowledge now, I still don't know how you guys were ever going to enforce that. And I think I pushed back on that a little, but I was just grateful.
They need to keep records. And records have to be available on the premises, evidencing TIP certification for management and the online certification that's required of servers.
Right, but who goes in and checks all those records? Who does
police.
Is that getting enforced?
The police would do that, according to the town administrator. Again, I know we're in a virtual meeting, but please raise
your hand if you'd
like to speak. Otherwise,
thank you, Tom. Okay. And I guess I just had one more. Actually, I forgot my what question was going to be, but I'm still concerned about enforcement. And it's just going to be too many moving parts to this license, and kind of that's what scares me. I'm just kind of following up on Councilor Kelly's concerns, and I just don't see, have we ever denied a one-day permit to Dean College? I mean, have we been so roguish that this is so necessary for their alumni events and their special events that they need this permanent license on campus? I just don't get it. But I mean, if they've been denied, I don't think they've ever been denied. If there've been instances where they've been denied, I don't see what the problem is with one-day license. I mean, it's kind of a control thing that maybe that works better from our standpoint and a safety standpoint, which Councilor Kelly's concerned about. I mean, I see this license is so tailored and so hybrid. that it's just too many moving parts. And I'm kind of amazed that an ABBA, the Alcohol Beverage Commission, would okay something like this. But I know how I feel about this, and I'm sort of negative about it. So I'll release the floor now, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Bizanti. Councilor Hamblin, and then Town Administrator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe this is to Attorney Sorrell. I was under the impression that this license would make it more, that Dean College would be under stricter guidelines, and instead of the one-time event, that they would actually have to report everything, and that it would actually be a safer thing for the students there.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, because you've got a designated manager, you have a local bylaw in the Franklin Town Code that puts requirements on the manager on how the establishment operates, gives us the right to go in and inspect. All sorts of things in terms of actual oversight. And as I also indicated, the ABCC has its own investigators that go out and do spot things. Perhaps the Attorney Farnsworth can address this, but it's my understanding from my discussions during the course of this with the executive director of the ABCC, Ralph Sacramone, that it's not at all uncommon around the Commonwealth for various institutions of higher learning, such as Dean, to have various alcohol license arrangements in place that cover the campus.
Thank you. Attorney Farnsworth, if you'd like to respond, that was directed towards you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Attorney Sorrell is correct that many universities do have these licenses. And also, I just want to quickly respond to the number of one-day licenses. It's only 30 in a calendar year. So that's the problem. They're so limited with alumni events or fundraising events. All the various parts of the college need to kind of step up and say, I need to have this, I need to have that. But there's only 30. So that's why this license is helpful. And then also to quickly on the, I know everyone's being patient, with regard to oversight. You have complete oversight. We have to maintain records, all of the TIPS training. I know many cities and towns, I'm not exactly sure Franklin does, but every year when you renew, you're supposed to send in a list of your staff with indications that they're all TIPS trained. And if there was ever any issue or any question, doesn't even have to be a violation. You all have the power to say, we want to have a status hearing. You guys come in here and talk to us. I mean, you really have great oversight over this license.
Thank you, Attorney Farnsworth. Town Administrator, your hand's still up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So some of my points that I've been writing down over the course of the conversation may be repetitive, but I think they're worth pointing out. Just various questions and or comments that the counselors or others have brought up, I just thought, I'd make a couple of points. There's no question that with a full Section 12 license, there is much greater oversight and accountability, both at the local level and at the state level. Right now, a lot of those one-day liquor licenses that we're referencing for fundraising events or alumni events, none of which have anything to do with children, or the staff events that they have, or maybe Dr. Rooney has various things, or the theater events they have there. Basically with one day, those may be 3 or 4 hours, maybe 2 hours. And so they're limited scope events. Whereas when you have a Section 12 and you have actually licensed through the Commonwealth, to the points that were brought up before, you now are allowing the police, the local police in Franklin, be able to have much greater oversight in terms of doing their spot checks, which they do on all licensees throughout the community all year, making sure that all of them are TIP certified and the proper documentation is present. And most importantly, the ABCC now has a legal authority to come out with their inspection investigative unit. And as we all know, you know, if there was any violations on any of those matters, though the discipline basically comes from the town council, which is etched out in our town bylaw. We virtually have none of that accountability or oversight with one-day licenses due to the nature of the events. It sounds in practice like we should, but in truth, with just a couple of events for 25 people, 30 people, it's very difficult to do that in practicum. And so when you have a full license like this, it's referenced typically as a quote-unquote restaurant license, because most Section 12 licenses, of course, are for what we all know is Acapulco's and Three and many of the other restaurants in town that everybody goes to. A Section 12 license is also obtained by the vast majority of private colleges throughout the Commonwealth. Boston University to Clark to Williams to Amherst, all of these schools, basically a Section 12 license is essentially part of doing business today as a college community. In most private schools, if not all of them throughout the Commonwealth, the vast majority of them have them. Additionally, for those of you that are familiar with licensees, it is required by the state to have all of that alcohol designated on a site plan and where they're going to lock it up. And so, you know, wherever that spot is, you know, the alcohol has to be in a secure location. And again, in lieu of that, the college has to bring that alcohol on the campus, sell it for a four-hour event, take it off. Whereas here, they're going to be able to have it into a secure location. So I think that wraps up most of the thoughts that I had had. There may be a few others that are on here that may have already come up, but I thought, you know, I would chime in. I had my hand raised a little earlier. But, you know, I know there was a lot of different feedback and stuff. So a lot of the comments I made, you know, are probably repetitive, but I think that they're certainly worth noting. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Last one, Councillor Jones. I think we've beaten this up enough.
We have. This question goes to the administration of Dean College. I'm assuming that because of the licenses that you've already had in place for the one-time licenses that you get, that you have policy in place at Dean College in regards to students that are currently under the age of 21 who come into possession of alcohol on your campus. So, for instance, if somebody somehow manages to get alcohol at one of these events under these licenses, you have policy that would address this with their student and potentially have them either suspended, reprimanded, and or expelled from school. What is your policy? I'm just curious to ask.
Who wants to take that, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, so we have a student code of conduct, and clearly, you know, possession of alcohol underage, the person would go through our conduct system. It could be varying sanctions that a student has, you know, which it could be anything from an alcohol course, you know, all the way up to, depending on, you know, what the severity of the issue is, separation from the college. But that is determined by the conduct office and the hearing officer. But yes, those are students understand that when they start at Dean, they, you know, from the time they begin matriculate at the college until they graduate, they fall under our student code of conduct.
Thank you, Dave. Yep. Answer your question, Glenn.
Almost. Just one more thing. My only hopes is that my only stipulation with this particular license is that if we grant this license, on top of your current policy, what I would like you to do, since there will be alcohol present on a regular basis, not on an occasional basis, but now there'll be a regular basis in which is alcohol present, that you reiterate these policies to your students and that you make them quite clear to them, and that they understand these policies, and they're clear on it, because now alcohol is going to be going from an occasional usage to a regular usage, and it just opens up that much more opportunity. That's my fear. That's
okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Councilor Jones. Okay, I think we've had sufficient discussion. And before we move forward with the vote, I thought that we had written the additional changes into the document that the clerk read, but we did not. So I would like to entertain a motion to amend the motion that's on the floor to include the agreed upon document that Attorney Sorrell and Attorney Farnsworth came up with prior to the meeting.
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, the roll call vote on the amendment. Councilor Jones.
Come in, sir. Basanti. This is as amended. Is this just for the amendment, sir?
This is just to approve the amendment. This isn't
just to approve the amendment. Just so all councilors are clear, this vote is clearly just to add amendments to this license approval. So, Basanti.
Yes.
Chandler.
Yes.
Earls.
Yes.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
8-1 absence on adding amendments to this motion, sir.
Okay, so the amendments have been added. So now the vote will come on the motion to approve Section 12, all alcoholic beverage license at the Dean College located at 135 Hemmons Street. Clerk will read the roll.
Asante.
No.
Chandler.
No.
Earls.
Yes.
Hamblin.
Yes.
DeLarco.
No.
Kelly.
No.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
You already did him.
Started the Vice Chair, sorry. Mercer.
Yes.
Okay. That is 4-4, sir, with one absence.
Motion does not carry.
Correct.
So, thank you, one and all. Moving on.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.